What's up, everybody? This is Moonshine Shotgun Mulligan Podcast here with my boy CC Stats. We're back at it. What's up, brother?
Back at it. Moonshine, I am ready to rock and roll. We are, what, 2.5 weeks away from Key the Music? A little doo-doo-doo. A little Lord, Augusta. Dude, I can't. Getting fired up.
It's April time, man.
But first.
Could always watch, is it too early to... to watch like Masters edition stuff, because I literally was watching the Golf Channel and they did Masters moments, and I think it was Jordan Spieth's 2015 win. Or too early or not?
What too early say? Because first, what I was going to say is first, we have the NCAA tournament that kicks off tomorrow. Let's go!
That's usually when the commercials start ripping too on CBS.
I feel bad. The commercials have been ripping since November.
Yeah, the ESPN ones.
I feel like the Valspar just gets crapped on this weekend.
It does.
And
there's a lot of golf on. Yeah, and the Valspar is a good tournament, but there's a lot of stuff going on. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, I feel like the Valspar gets crapped on. There's a lot going on. And the Valspar is such a good tournament. I love that course. It doesn't look like a very easy course to play, but I just love watching those guys grind on that golf course.
Yeah, I always get confused with the Bear Trap and the Valspar course. Isn't there like a stretch of holes at that course too? Or am I mistaking it?
Yeah, like the Snake Pit.
The Snake Pit. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought there was a couple like tough holes on that course too.
Well, I remember probably about 5-6 years ago when Tiger had made his comeback. It was the year he won the Players Championship.
Right.
And he made the cut. That was the year. And that was the year he missed the putt against my boy, Paul Casey. Won it back to back years. And that tee shot on 18 is just daunting. It's just like a narrow fairway. And a lot of guys put it in the bunker, they put it in the rough, and then it's like all uphill from there. So there's other spots. And if the wind blows, so I'm excited to watch it though. I'll get to watch a little bit on South. I'll get to watch some Saturday late or Sunday and Saturday afternoon, probably.
So what I'm looking forward to is having that when there's that little couple hour break in the games. So you get that, you know, how you get the early games, the NCAA, it's like 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then sevens or something. So like from that, like 5 to 6:30 ish time frame to 7, I'm just going to be watching golf.
Yeah. I don't, I'm trying to think Saturday. I'm sure I'm going to botch this. My wife hears this. She'll be like, we had to do this, this, and this on Saturday. Saturday, I don't think I have a ton going on in the late afternoon. Sunday afternoon, I got a lot going on, but I should be home around 5. So I might catch the last 8 holes or so. But
dude, I can't wait. This Matt Pat leave that I got going on here, just off all week, dude, for the tourney. I'm going to be smoking meat on Saturday. I think I'm going to do smoke the old corned beef like I did last year. Your boy
got to get some Texas Sugar.
I know, right?
Got to roll over to your old True Value Ace and pick up some Texas Sugar.
Yeah, I'd have to see if there's a True Value. I'm sure there's one down there somewhere. And
you're going to the Matthews. Bay.
Yeah, I'm going to the Bay. Yeah. So what are you drinking over there, buddy? I heard you got something.
Yeah,
fancy.
Your boy went a little fancy tonight. So I got this bourbon book and I like to mix it up every now and then. And I was feeling an old fashioned. I was like, yeah, I'll make something else bourbon related. So this is pretty easy. So this is called the Saratoga.
Ooh, I've heard of that, but what's in that?
So it calls for redemption rye. So your boy went higher class. And I use a little Woodford.
Mm-hmm.
So I did Woodford. It's got brandy and sweet vermouth.
Oh, okay.
And then two dashes of Anastorga. What is it? Anastorga bitters.
Yeah.
And then you just stir it up and strain it into a... coupe. A chilled coupe, and then there you go, and get a little lemon on top.
So it's kind of like sort of Manhattan like, right? But you're just substituting like the cherry or the brandy, basically, right?
Yeah, the brandy. It's got brandy and the sweet vermouth both. So
okay,
but yeah, and I actually like this better. Manhattans aren't my favorite, but I'll make them. But this
I love
is
a Manhattan, dude. A nice cold Manhattan up, dude.
Yeah,
silly. Get some good bourbon.
Yeah.
I like it, man.
What you got over there? I saw a little bottle.
Little crisp Italian favorite. A little Peroni, dude.
Nice.
I'm loving the European Pilsners, man. You can't beat them.
There you go.
You got that and the Asian and the European Pilsners where I'm at right now. So I got, yeah. I've been doing all Sapporo and Peroni pretty much. Cause I got on Peroni when we went to Italy. I never really liked European lagers. I wasn't a big like Stella fan, you know, just has that different taste that I just didn't really like at first. But once I tried Peroni in Italy, you know, maybe it was just the being in the environment. And for some reason, just kind of, it kind of stayed with me.
Yeah. So. Peronis are a go-to for me. I like a Peroni. I do Sapporo. I actually might even like a little bit more than that. I mean, if I'm at Chinese, Japanese, I mean, if I'm going to a Japanese steakhouse,
you bring over support. The Sapporos. The bring best thing about Sapporo is that you got the double deuce.
Yeah.
The big cans, man.
Well, your boy next week, next Friday, I got plans. I think Trackman may be coming with us. So when he listens to this, I'll be like, what? Your boy's going to a top-notch teppanyaki-style Japanese steakhouse.
Let's go. Had a boy.
Your boy's going to Benihana.
All right.
Just like a 10-year-old.
Dude, I can't ever get out the Office episode about Benihana. Did you ever see that?
I don't think I did.
Dude, please watch it like right. Tonight or some other time this weekend.
Okay.
But you have to watch it before you get a Benihana.
Okay. I will Classic. Watch it. I promise before the next episode, I will watch it. There is a reason your boy turns the big 4-6 next Friday. So that's why we're going.
Let's go. It's called Benihana Christmas, I think. I think it's one of their Christmas shows.
I got Peacock, so I can pull it up.
I love
I'm
it,
all in.
So what do you think about that players last week? You got Scheffler pulling it out, kind of crushing the field. Wasn't as good of drama in terms of star names up at the top, which was a little, you know, kind of disappointing. But what was your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Saturday was really – I watched a lot on Saturday. Sunday, when it kind of got out of hand, I was out of the house for a little bit, and I came home and saw the last six holes. But yeah, Saturday was fun to watch because I was pulling for Minwoo Lee. He was playing really good. He's being aggressive, like super aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
He played well enough. Scotty kind of put the foot on the gas a little bit on Saturday. And they had said that, you know, thought that 13, 14 under might take the lead. And he started the day at what, 9, 8?
I think so.
8. So shoot 6 under on Saturday. Now, granted, the conditions on Saturday were right for the picking. I mean, everybody was going low. So I think they said it was one of the lowest scoring rounds ever in the Players Championship history. So I was pulling for guys. Minwoo was up there. I was really pulling for Ben Griffin. I wanted to see him. I felt a little bad for him. He was in the final group on Saturday. I just think I don't think he was pressing. I just think he was trying to keep up, and they were just playing better than him. It's not that he was playing bad, you know. But on a day where you got to probably shoot 3-4 under, I don't know exactly what he shot that day, but I think he shot even because I think him and Jason Day kind of shot around the same. So, but right. I was hoping for Minwoo to pull it out, but he struggled on Sunday.
Yeah, he was having some trouble.
Big time.
But dude, that 2-iron that he hits, I'm a Minwoo fan, dude. He's awesome.
Well,
he's got the Tom Kim type young energy, you know, coming in on 17 and pumping up the crowd. His sister, whatever, you know, that's on the LPGA tour, said that people are going to like really take this personality because he's always been kind of out in front, you know, big personality, you know, always cutting up and trying to be in front of everybody. So I don't know, man. I'm a Minwoo fan right now. I really enjoyed watching him play. He really attacks the golf ball. It's almost like a Sam Burns look to it, off the tee where he just really rips his body into it and goes all out. So some of those people are kind of hit or miss. You know, they'll have a really hot week, and then sometimes they're off. As you saw, like, I think his last tournament or the Honda or whatever he played the last time, he didn't have a very good start, but then he comes out and does really well at the Players. So that was pretty cool.
The only thing about the 2-iron, I know you brought that up, was he hit that 2-iron so damn good, he left him a crappy stance. He ended up bogeying the hole on Saturday.
I mean, 2-iron is a freaking bull.
He hit it like 296, but... Yeah, that was kind of unfortunate because I don't want to say that kind of turned the tail because he had 24 hours or whatever to come back and re-tee it and go after it. I mean, he ended up being one back, two back, I think, to start the day. And so he had a chance to possibly be right there tied for the lead or at least were one back, and then he ended up bogeying. So, I mean, that's golf. It's the luck of the draw, and it is what it is. But, yeah, I was pulling for him. I mean, he gets squeaked into the tournament, being top 50 in the world. He doesn't have PGA Tour membership yet, so he's trying to get that. So yeah, my DK picks I've made in the past, I picked Minwoo Lee, and you asked me the other day that I picked him, and I had not.
So Denny McCarthy.
Your boy's on a cold streak right here, so we'll talk about that later.
But dude, another thing that I kept seeing over and over, and then I'm guilty of it as well, is everybody's talking about like Scottie Scheffler so boring, which, you know, I've been guilty of saying the same thing. Like, he doesn't move the needle in terms of me getting like really pumped up to watch him, mm-hmm. but I do appreciate his game. You know, he's just so good. And so he just gets the job done. You know, he's one of those guys that's not flashy. I'd like to see a little bit more energy from him, but that's just not him. You know, he's just one of those guys that kind of even kill, like a Freddie Couples type. But also I was thinking about it though, and then I'm like, well, it's kind of not fair to call him boring, because growing up, was Tiger not boring on Sundays when he had the lead?
Well, yeah, he was up 12 strokes.
Definitely. Always. But I'm just saying, like, even if he was up 5 strokes, 4 strokes, he always was just par, 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 middle of the green, par, middle of the green, par. If someone had a run on him, then he'd start getting aggressive again and start birdieing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know how many times my dad and I went and we'd play 9 holes on a Sunday where Tiger's going to win. We wanted to see him play most of his round. But what we do, we go play 9 when he was on his front 9, because we're figuring, you know, he's just going to be cruising, parring. We'd get home, eat dinner, and, you know, early, and then watch him finish up. You know, we'd watch like an hour of his tournaments.
I don't think I'd call Scottie boring. I don't think that's the right word. I think he's very even keel all the time. He doesn't get, you don't see a lot of frustration for him, even when he hits a bad shot. I mean, he's got a great caddy on the bag. We've talked a lot of caddies, and their two personalities and how they mesh, I think, is a big key to this.
Mm-hmm.
Having Ted Scott on the bag, they're both, I think, probably very similar. I think, and obviously Ted and Bubba were on the bag with each other for quite a while, and they're probably pretty similar too. I would probably, this is my opinion, that Bubba probably is a little bit more, I don't want to say flashy, but a little out there than Scottie is. Scottie's probably a little bit more reserved than Bubba is.
Right.
So I think that's why they mesh so well. I don't know if you heard this stat. I think it was Saturday when he chipped in on the third hole. That was the 10th. And apparently him and Ted have a bet for the year, like over under 10. He's already chipped in 10 times already this year. 10
that's
times.
Right. That's crazy. Yeah. I did think about that when he chipped in this weekend. I'm like, he chipped in twice, I think, over the weekend at the Players, right? I think he had that one. Yeah, he had one in the final round, and mm-hmm. then he had one in the Saturday, I think.
Yeah,
I was like, dude, he chips in all the time.
He was staring. He was staring bogey in the face, and then he chips in for birdie. And then you're like, well, what the hell? So
that's kind of fun to see. I mean, I think that it kind of does him a disservice when like using the word boring. It's not quite the right term for him. He's just, you know, take it for what it's worth. You know, is what I say to myself. You know, I might not get super amped up to watch Scottie Scheffler win, but I do appreciate how good he is, how he gets it done, and then how he's just his personality. He's not going to act like he's someone different. He just seems like a really nice guy, wants to win. You know, he doesn't have to be, you know, he doesn't have to be someone that he isn't, you know.
Well, you have to appreciate there's only 3 people in tour history that have held the Masters, the Green Jacket, and the Players Championship trophy at the same time. Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Scottie Scheffler.
It's pretty sick.
And we can talk about his menu got released today for the Masters dinner for him and his live folks.
Lay it out.
I guess these are appetizers. He's got some cheeseburger sliders served Scottie style. I don't know what that is. I want to dig a little deeper. What is Scottie style? I don't know if you know, but I'm going to have to dig deeper on that. Firecracker shrimp with sweet Thai chili and sriracha mayo. All right. Very good. A little tortilla soup with some avocado, blue crispy tortilla strips, sour cream, cilantro, and lime. Pretty mainstay. Pretty even keel right there. A little Texas ribeye or black and redfish. I do like that, both of those. Also, some even-keeled sides, family-style mac and cheese, jalapeno cream corn, fried Brussels sprouts, and seasoned fries. And then to top it off for dessert, we got a warm chocolate skillet cookie with milk and cookies ice cream. I think our master dinner is being served by a 12-year-old.
Sounds like it. That's all good. Someone posted right after that, and they changed the Masters logo to Applebee's on top. Did you see that?
I did not
see that. I was like, that's awesome. Props to him, man. It's what he likes, you know.
I mean, I kind of feel like Jackson would, my son would eat all of that. Maybe not the jalapeno cream corn, but he probably would eat everything else.
Yeah, are the kids invited to this master center?
Well, maybe he's looking out for those live folks out there.
Yes. Man, I just wonder how that dinner is going to be, though. Is it going to be awkward, do you think, or is it going to be, or is everybody going to be cordial, probably?
I would bet they'll be cordial. I think there will be some awkwardness. I don't know if you heard this. I saw this right before we jumped on that you know, Liv is playing this week out in Tucson.
Right.
And if Phil got asked today about Augusta, and he goes, listen, he goes, a lot of us out there are decades long friends. He goes, I think it'll be okay, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know. I think it will be, but I also think there's some guys out there that aren't going to talk to him.
Yeah.
By the way, Phil Mickelson looks rough.
Yeah, he does, man. He looks sick.
Somebody needs to bring, I know you're a big fan of the sideburns. He's got to bring the sideburns back.
He needs to, dude. He needs to bring back the old figure, dude. The figure when I liked Phil again, because I used to like Phil, and then I used to really like Phil. What was it, 2 years ago when he was doing the Cavs videos? Like, that was funny. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like top Phil Mickelson. He wasn't being such a dick all the time. He was fun. He was getting on social media, and now he's like the old grandpa on social media. He's just like going overkill. But yeah. He doesn't look healthy. I mean, he's like down to my weight, but he looks sick. I don't know what's, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know what to say about. He doesn't look good.
Yeah. I'm hoping that, I mean, I want to see him play. If he keeps playing like he does on Liv, he might get relegated, but I don't know.
Yeah. How does that work for a captain? Can the captains get relegated too?
I would think. I mean, they're not going to relegate Phil Mickelson, let's be honest, but don't you think that if you were one of the bottom four guys in points throughout the year that you should be relegated?
Yeah, you would think. I just wonder if that's going to happen because, like, you know, some of the captains aren't really playing very well. I mean,
no. You know,
Bubba didn't play well for his first tournament. You know, Bryson. Our buddy Bryson, you know, our buddy Kenny Harms, Kevin Na hasn't played up to what he had been playing on the PGA Tour. He hasn't had, you know, a great year or so. Yeah, that's a good question. I'd like to see what happens with that because it's like they paid these guys so much cash. Maybe they have a clause that it's like a captain can't be relegated, but we'll see. I mean, that would be kind of dumb to relegate them. I mean, after you paid one of these dudes like 30 mil.
I think it'd be kind of funny.
It would be kind of funny, though, in a way. It's like, hey, we paid you all this cash, but you can't even be at the top of the top, what is it, 50 of the 54 or whatever.
Well, and it's funny too, because, you know, the Liv talk has definitely kind of died down since they had their first tournament. But then I've seen some stuff, like somebody came out and said that they wouldn't, I don't remember who it was, said, nope, don't let them back. Oh, it was Matthew Fitzpatrick, said, nope, they've made their bed, they're done, they don't ever get to come back. Like, I wouldn't allow them back on the PGA Tour whatsoever. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I think it's possible it could happen, but I also think it's probably more possible that they're going to work out something that these guys can play both.
Right.
At some point. I'm not saying now or in 2 years, but as long as Jay Monahan's commissioner, I think right now it's not going to happen. But I think if somebody else steps in, I think I could see it happening. But
yeah,
I thought that was pretty strong words from Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was getting a little bit – I mean, I was surprised he said that. I mean, he's only been kind of relevant. I mean, he's been a good player, but he's only been kind of relevant with his U.S. Open win. He hadn't had any other – PGA Tour wins, right? I mean, it's not like he's been a stud on tour forever, but again, that doesn't make or break say an opinion on something that's not what I'm trying to say, but yeah. It's just that I was surprised. But what I'm saying is, though, is from a business standpoint, if they completely ban these dudes for life, that's just horrible business for the PGA Tour that doesn't have unlimited funds like the Saudi fund. If they say, like, okay, you guys want to live, you can never come back or you can never compete in any of our tournaments, that's just dumb financially. I mean, I see where you can't be like double dip, like where you can let them fully come back and then play the live events, but all the live events, because then everybody's going to go over to live, because it's like, why not take the cash and do the PGA Tour? But I think if they figure out something where they can play a few different events, like maybe the designated events on the PGA Tour, and then they can play the live events. But then again, that might be another thing too. It's like, why some of these other top guys may say, why don't I just jump as well? You know, so it's a tough situation.
I think I think the younger guys like the DeChambeaus and all not Echeverria. It's on the episode. Oh, Mito Pereira. Joaquin Niemann and Abe Ancer, like guys like that of that caliber and that age. I think that could be detrimental down the line. Mm-hmm. But guys like Phil and Poulter and Kevin Na, like they're towards the tail end of their career. I mean, I don't want to say tail end, but the back end of their career.
Yeah, maybe you put an age limit on it, right?
Yeah.
But like a, I don't know, 45? Because what's the Champions Tour, 50 and above?
50, yeah, yeah.
So what do you, like 45 and above, you can't come back.
Right.
You know, something like that. But then again, if you're less than 45, you're going to be like, well, why don't just jump to 44 and then come back to the PGA Tour?
True. So
it's a tough situation. They do need to find, like we've talked about with Coach Howe, they do need to find some way to coexist, but I don't think it's going to happen with Jay Monahan. But they need to, you know, I just don't know what that consists of. Just because, I mean, if they roll into it, it's just like, then they're making changes. The USGA comes out. Everyone now knows about this rollback of the ball that they're proposing. They have a tournament style golf ball, similar to what Jack Nicklaus has been proposing for years, to cut back on the distance. What's your thoughts on this rollback situation?
I mean, it's one thing that from what I've seen, everybody's in agreement for that. They think it's stupid. I mean, I saw Titleist put out a statement, and I can't remember who put the video out, or it was a recording of somebody talking about it. And basically to have guys, PGA Tour guys, play their own ball, and then you and I play a totally different ball, the manufacturers are going to revolt because they're going to be like, we want to make the same ball for everybody.
Right.
Because if you're working on your game enough, Moonshine, that you get it down to a 2-3 scratch golfer, you want to be playing the same ball that those guys are playing, but you're not going to be able to get hold of it.
Right.
And for the manufacturers to be able to play, or excuse me, the pros to be able to play a totally different ball, I think if they truly go through with this, I think the manufacturers are going to be like, they're not going to be as much money for those guys out there because they're spending a lot more money for the amateurs to be able to play a different kind of golf ball. So I don't think rolling back the golf ball is truly ideal. I understand the distance thing has been an issue. I think it's been pretty consistent probably over the past 3 years. I don't think it's really jumped. You see guys wanting more distance. DeChambeau, he got it. He couldn't sustain because of the injuries. He's still going to hit it far. Rory tried to chase that. He's had to dial it back a little bit. I don't think guys are going to consistently try to hit 340, 350.
Right.
I mean, I think you need to do something. If you're going to do anything, you need to adjust the equipment because the equipment we all can buy too.
Right.
You know? So why wouldn't you adjust the equipment a little bit and put some more stipulations on the equipment to where maybe you're not allowed, it doesn't allow you to hit the ball so far, you know?
That's true. Like
hold the clubs back a little bit. And I don't know if that's the right answer either, but the golf ball thing, and I've watched Justin Thomas came out and said something today. I saw what you posted about them saying kind of feeling that the USGA is very selfish, which it's got a valid point.
Right. Well, he kind of basically said your point, which I totally agree. He had a good point with is like, hey, like it's so cool that in golf, you can be playing at your local muni as an amateur, he was saying, and be playing the same ball that he's playing, you know, and you compare it, it kind of brings that like professional to an amateur experience together. You know, it's like, hey, I can pull off this shot with the same ball, you know, and can we pull it off as many times as a hell no. But like, if we pull it off 1 in 15 times, it's like, cool, man. Like I'm capable of doing something like a pro.
Right.
But then you know, if they have a different ball, it's just like, it doesn't, like you can't relate at all. Not that we can relate in our golf game, but you can't even have any like commonality, you know, if that's even a word.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the answer. I mean, I think that, like I said at the beginning, I think the live guys and the tour guys, I think this is the one thing they agree on. Maybe this is the thing that brings them together somewhat. I doubt it, but I like the commonality that we all can play the same golf ball. I can walk down the street and go play my, like you said, my favorite Muni course and pull out the exact same Pro V1X or the exact same Bridgestone BX 330 or whatever that or the Srixon or the Callaway, that all those guys are playing. And I might not have the same results as them, but I can know that I'm going to try, and I can have the opportunity to play that ball. I think the manufacturers are going to fight back. I think this is going to end up being, I don't want to say messy, but I think the manufacturers are going to fight back, and they're going to team up together and be like, look, we don't have the resources to make a pro ball and make an amateur ball.
Right.
We're already kicking in so much money to the golf industry to do 4, 5, 6, 7, how many ever different but golf balls. I mean, look how many different Titleist golf balls there are. I mean, what's the one, the AVX? I've never even played that. I don't know if guys on tour play that.
I love that ball, actually.
But I think that I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of team up and be like, listen, this is eating into our resources that we don't have the resources to do this. Like,
yeah, like what happens if they're just like, we're not going to make it?
Well, and I'm wondering,
I mean,
too,
someone like, would make it, but I'm just saying, like, but the pros aren't going to play some crappy golf ball. If Titleist, TaylorMade, you know, Bridgestone band together and they say, we're not making the tournament ball.
Right.
Like, what do they do? Like, are the pros going to play? Are they going to bring out Nike again? And the pros are going to play like the Nike Tour Accuracy? Like,
well, and I'm wondering, too, how does that affect you and I, the amateur, that if we go to Dick's and pick up a dozen golf balls, the price of golf balls is probably going to go up.
Right.
Pro V ones that are what, 54 a dozen, maybe they're $62 a dozen now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I don't know.
And the other thing is too, is if the PGA Tour, someone made a good point of this too. If the PGA Tour was to adopt this, then LIV is going to go hard on the thing that they're all about distance, they're all about fun. Yep. So it puts them in a horrible position, really. Like the USGA has kind of put them in a really bad corner. It's like, because if they don't adopt it, which I don't think they're going to, because with all this pushback with the PGA Tour, but it's going to be interesting, though, if the USGA and RNA are saying, like, no, for sure, like, we're doing this for the Open Championship and the US Open. I don't understand why they need to do that, though, for those two tournaments. Like, just make the fairways tighter, like, and make the pins harder to get to, make the rough harder. And these
make
dudes
the
have
slower.
A make the greens slower on the Open and the greens faster on the U.S. Open. And these dudes struggle. I mean, they how many times has the U.S. Open got it right? Sometimes they've got it wrong. But how many times have they got it right when it's like minus two's the winner, minus three's the winner?
I mean, I like to see guys be challenged. And we've talked about this before. I like to see them challenged. And I like to see a little bit of carnage, but I like to see some fair carnage. Like, you know, that one year, what was it? When they're up on Long Island.
Shinnecock.
I mean, I think that's probably too far, but I think there's got to be a fair balance. And I don't know. I don't know if a golf ball is the right answer. That's the bottom line. I don't think rolling back the golf ball is the right answer. And I think, I don't even know if equipment is the right answer. I think that they all need to sit down and talk about it, which they obviously have, but I feel like you need to get the players involved and hear what they have to say. And I think that's part of it. So going back to the USGA and set up for tournaments, you know, the USGA brought in a former player as one of their player person. And I think that's probably helped a little bit with the USGA and their setups over the past couple of years. They brought in Jason Gore.
Yeah, and he's helped them from a
and he's helped them tremendously. And obviously, what's his name retired, and so he's not tricking up golf courses as much as he used to, or what the past couple of years. But I don't know. I'm just some guy that lives here, and I don't want to go pay a ton of. I haven't had to pay a lot of money for golf balls over the past 10 years. I don't want to end up having to pay more money for the same golf that I'm playing now because they've decided to make a totally. I can't because the pros are playing their ball.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to think that the prices would change.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's just they're having to put that extra manpower to make this like separate, less efficient golf ball out there for the tournament pros. So it's ridiculous.
Yep, agreed.
But, you know, coming off that subject, though, going into this week with the Valspar, do you got any D-Gen picks that you wanted to share?
So I said at the beginning, your boy is cold. Like super cold. Ice cold.
So you're down and out that bad. You're not even put any.
I haven't even looked at it this week. My funds are a little low. I probably make a deposit tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't have a lot. I haven't even looked at it. I'm afraid to make a pick this week because I might empty the account. And I know there's some guys playing in this week. Spieth's playing. Spieth's playing. JR's playing. My boy Denny is playing. You gotta have. It's gonna have to be a guy that's gonna have to be fairways and greens. Gotta hit good. Gotta hit fairways consistently. Hit the green. Probably shoot 9-10 under would be ideal. I don't even know what the winning score was last year. I don't know. I like Denny. I think Denny's been pretty consistent. He had one little hiccup a couple weeks ago. He played well last week. And there's some guys playing. Yeah, I know. Eric Cole's played good over the past few weeks. He played a tough course at the Honda, and I think he could have a good, he might have a good shot. You know who surprised me last week? I haven't heard a lot about him, but damn, doesn't he love the players? Is David Lingmerth?
Yeah, man. I almost picked him. He's been playing crappy. So he had played really well in the fall, and then he played really shitty, I think, at the Honda and some of the other tournaments. But I was watching a recap of a player's years ago with Tiger, and I think it might have been the one that Ricky won that they're re-airing. Mm-hmm. And Lingmerth was like two off the lead. And I was like, man, maybe I'll pick Lingmerth this week. But I was like, nah, he's been playing like crap. He played well in the fall. Like I talked myself out of it, but then I was just like totally pissed because he does. I think he's been up top 10 like several times at the Players.
Yeah. Well, you got the guy that's going for a three-peat, three in a row, is Sam Burns.
Yeah, so I got
he's probably odds on favorite. Neesmith played really well last year. Thomas played well. And Thigala played. Those guys were all in the top 10 last year.
You think so about this one. I got you. So to come off that point, Sam Burns win it. Mm-hmm. Denny McCarthy, top 10. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to close and win, but I think he could be up there. Adam Hadwin playing great golf, top 5. Brian Harman, top 20. Justin, top 40.
How much does that pay?
Quarter pays $538.
Pretty good. I like that one.
That's my higher edge bet, and then I got to give you a moonshine. So let me get the one with a pretty good payout. So DraftKings caught on, I guess, to the moonshine bet. I don't know what it is, but they minimum bet these big parlays now. Like I try to put in like a quarter or something so I could get like $1 million payout or something crazy, just because I crack up at myself. It's so dumb, but they have been pushing back because I'll click it. And then it gives me the minimum bet thing. And it brings my bet back, so they won't let you get. Maybe they have to pay out a fee.
Maybe people listen to the podcast.
So the moonshine bet this week, not that I've won any yet, but I've won a couple of the legs off of it. Is Oshkay Batia to win?
Ooh.
Lauer top 5. Nate Lashley top 10. Been playing well recently. Mm-hmm. Brandon Wu top 20. Mm-hmm. And Harry Hall, that you didn't really know about, that I was telling you about, top 40.
Okay.
What's that pay, you think?
$782,000.
No, man, because they pulled it back. Quarter pays 118 grand. So
okay. Still a good payout. That'll pay for some golf balls for a while.
Yeah, I'll take that. So those are my two. Those are the moonshine, the sleeper from nowhere. Please, please do the two parlay. What is it? The
round robin.
Round robin, because unlikely you're going to hit five freaking picks, but you never know. I had a sweat though last week.
You did. You had a good sweat.
Dude, I was actually getting pretty excited in Griff win. And if Aaron Rye would have played well that last day, he'd been top 5, and then the top 10 was Nate Lashley, but he didn't have a good Sunday. But they were all within, so I would have won like $1,500 if that would have pulled out. But it was fun. It was a nice little sweat going into Sunday.
I don't know if all these guys are playing, but I'm looking at last year's leaderboard. So I'm going to go Justin Thomas top 5. I'm going to go with Adam Hadwin top 20. I'm going to jump around a little bit. Thigala, top 10. And to win, I think I'm going to go with Gary Woodland.
Okay.
Now, let me see if all those guys, that's looking at last year's leaderboard. So what did I say? I said Justin Thomas, top 5, right?
Gary Woodland to win.
Gary Woodland to win. All right. Thagala to be top 10. I don't even see him. Maybe he's not in. That could be a problem.
Who was your top 20? Yeah, I don't think Thigala's playing this week.
Top 20 was Hadwin. I think Hadwin's playing this week. Yeah, I don't see Thigala out there, so I might have to replace it. You know what? I'm going to go with Ling Mirth top 20. Actually, no, I'm going to go with Cole top 20. Excuse me, top 10. And then I'll go with, I'm going to stick with Ben Griffin, top 40.
Yeah. Like, I think he won't fully come way back this week, but I think he will draw back a little bit after playing, up in the mix and last group at the Players. But I think he keeps it rolling. I think he's going to make the cut and play some decent golf.
All right. Here's what I got. Woodland. Oh, no, can't do that. I had Woodland to win. You had Justin Suh in there. You had Brandon Wu in there. I will go with, I'm going to go with your boy. Here we go. Woodland to win. Justin Thomas, top 5. Eric Cole, top 10. Robbie Shelton, top 20. Ben Griffin, top 40.
That's bomb. I must put Shelton in some bets, too. He's playing good golf.
5-pick parlay, $1, pays $10,036.
Got stats on that.
I'm going to lock that in right now. Live on the podcast, your boy just won 10 grand. Just kidding.
So, not that it's a basketball podcast, but what's your final four? You done a bracket tonight yet?
I've done one bracket. I'm going to do another one tonight. let me give you my bracket here. Hold on. Let's see. So I don't even know how to pull this up. There we go. I have I have Miami and Arkansas on one side and UVA and Marquette on the other side. No number ones made it through. I have Arkansas as an 8 making it through. And I have Arkansas beating Marquette in the final.
Wow. Arkansas making it that far.
I got no, there's no rhyme or reason there, bud. No rhyme or reason.
They lost like 15 games.
No, they didn't.
I think they were like middle of the pack of the SEC. Well,
I still have till 12:10 tomorrow. I am juiced though. I am juiced to watch the first two games tomorrow. West Virginia, Maryland kick off the tournament, and UVA. That's
gonna
be Furman.
That game's sweet. I kept going back and forth because Maryland's had a decent year, but the old Huggins, man, I can't go against WU on that one.
Well, I saw that Maryland's record in the first round something is like 22-3. As like an 8 seed or something like that. And I was like, well, I got to pick Maryland on that one. But Huggy Bear, they always play tough.
Huggy Bear, dude. He'll be drinking some cold ones if he gets the one too.
Yeah. I do like Miami, but I guess Miami's down. I might adjust those picks. Miami's down and one of their guards got hurt against Duke. So,
and everyone's popping up the Drake upset though with that, because supposedly they have some good guards or something.
Yeah.
And then Jay Billis saying College of Charleston is a good bet for an upset there against the South region or whatever, because they just run and gun, shoot a ton of threes, and he's like somebody. So some of those teams, if they get hot, they could just burn through a team,
So what I'm telling everybody is don't listen to my final four picks. They'll probably be adjusted before tomorrow morning. UVA, I like. I mean, obviously, I'm wearing a Cavs hat, Cavs jersey, or a sweatshirt. If UVA can shoot the way they're capable of, I'm not worried about their defense. If they can shoot, they'll be fine. But when they go cold from anywhere, it's over, because that's what happened against Duke the other night. They played so good against and North Carolina and Clemson. I mean, just dismantled both of them. They embarrassed North Carolina so bad that North Carolina didn't decline the NIT invite. So
they play awesome defense. I just always worry about if they're not hitting on offense, like you're saying, they're done.
Well, and losing Vanderplas hurt too. Although that's not why they lost to Duke the other night. I mean, what's his name? Flipikowski is playing out of his mind. Cafro played pretty good, but Flipikowski is playing good. Duke has been on a roll lately, so I wouldn't be surprised Duke makes a little run in this, because I think they're a 5 seed as well. So
yeah, I got Duke. I got Alabama. I got Gonzaga and then Auburn as my four. And then I got Gonzaga, Alabama winning.
Really?
Yeah. Auburn, you know, Bruce Pearl, dude, he could slide into a tournament run. My Wildcats, I do have them going to the Elite Eight. They're either going to lose in the first round or make it to the Elite Eight, I think.
Okay.
They're just one of those teams. You know, UK, you can't, with Calipari, you can't ever, like, judge it. It's either they're going to run and play awesome because they have studs, or they're going to play like shit and lose the first game.
I agree. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Alabama's had so much turmoil, though, with everything going on this year with the players that got charged with that murder.
That's true.
I don't know.
They can play some ball, though.
They can play. They can play some ball. That's for sure. And I know you're a big baller.
They may get up and down stats.
That's right. Get up and down.